This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Now, Louise Pratt is a Labor Senator from Western Australia, and she was the first Federal Minister for Equality. Obviously, with the federal election result, that's not to be. So Toby spoke with Louise about how she was feeling about the election result.
Well, clearly we're very disappointed that we won't get an opportunity to, you know, pursue what were a very comprehensive and broad range of policies in support of the LGBTIQ community. What we really need to hope for now is to keep the pressure on the Morrison government to make advances we can. You know, clearly I get dismayed when there are those framing this election results as a victory for much more conservative values around our rights, and I'd really like to hope we can take the politics out of that and really focus on how people in the community are affected and take that to Parliament.
Off the back of the election result, some in the community claimed that the results were an affirmation of their homophobic and transphobic views. That's a position that Louise Pratt doesn't share.
No, I certainly don't think it was fair to say it was fought on these issues. Notwithstanding that, I was clearly very disappointed in the kind of irrational scare campaigns around our policies, which were clearly simply about upholding basic rights and dignity for LGBTIQ people in the Australian community. And we really need to draw a line under that and make sure that doesn't continue.
In particular, Lyle Shelton from the Australian Christian Lobby was one of the people who came out and declared that the election result was in some way a referendum and an affirmation of his views.
Oh, I know. They have very much come out and said that this is a win for religious freedom, and I don't see it either. You know, the Australian Labor Party is for religious freedom, but what we're not for is to use religious freedom to attack LGBTIQ citizens of our nation, which is what the Christian lobby seeks to do, and to hide behind religious freedom as some kind of cover for that agenda.
I asked Louise what she thought had driven the election result.
Well, I think it's very clear that the Liberals ran a very successful scare campaign against our policies. We've got a very strong agenda of equality, economic and social inclusion, and clearly we won't shy away from that, but we do need to think very carefully how we campaign around those issues and communicate our values to the Australian people.
I also asked the Senator how she and her Senate colleagues were planning on holding the Morrison government to account.
Well, clearly there are LGBTI people in the Liberal Party as well, and you know, I'll be trying to reach across the aisles to make sure that both as an opposition but and as a community we can hold them to account on LGBTIQ rights, but also more broadly on making sure we don't end up with a really regressive taxation system, we don't end up with a tax on our environment. I'm clearly very disappointed that we're not moving forward as a Labor government, but very clearly we've got a job to do as an opposition to, you know, prevent our country going down a negative path. They haven't got a clear agenda, and so we need to, on many policy areas that I can see other than tax, so we really need to make sure we're putting an alternate voice to the Australian people.
Now, that was a rather disappointedly sounding Senator Louise Pratt speaking to Toby Halligan, and this is The Informer.
Well, earlier in the show, Andrew Reynolds was speaking about gay conservatives, and The Informer's David Beckett spoke to one of Australia's most prominent gay conservatives last week, Tim Wilson. We were going to play it out last week for Radiothon, but the news quiz took up the entirety of the show. So here is David's excellent interview with Tim.
Well, some people say it's a surprise, but if you looked at the data and the evidence, it wasn't clear that Labor was going to win. I'm not trying to play it down. You know, a lot of people are in a state of shock. Some people are surprised. In the end, it's a couple of factors. Firstly, And I'm not trying to rub salt in the wound for Labor people, but there was a general caution, let's put it that way, about Bill Shorten on a personal level. And then they had an agenda which was designed to change Australia. And I think it's quite clear that that has been rejected. People know that Australia is a great country, that it has challenges, that we need to meet those challenges, but I don't think people want to radically change it either. And on top of that, you had... I think a Liberal Party that was focused where it should be focused, which is on making sure we have a strong economy, a united society where everybody is respected and with an eye to the environmental stewardship that people expect of us. So I think the choice became quite clear for people. The risks were very high from a change. The status quo was something that people could live with, and that's what you got.
So the issue with the polls going into the election being wrong... And they're wrong so often in recently, more than probably 15, 20 years ago. What do you say to that?
Well, when you look at polling, there's actually two types of polling for politicians. There's the what we call unaided vote. That's the vote where you just say, what do you think about the parties? And that's what all, you know, News Poll and Ipsos and all those people do. And then there's that aided polling. So it's not what, you know, you're going to vote Liberal in Goldstein, or you're going to vote for Tim Wilson. And they actually produce quite different results because some people don't like the Liberal Party, but like me, some people... don't like me, but, you know, having to be Liberal supporters. And there's a mixed bag.
Yep.
And the same is true with the Labor candidate, if they've heard of them or anything else. And so when you go down seat by seat, it was always clear that our incumbent members generally are more popular than their parties because they have a brand ID, people have direct engagement with them rather than ephemeral brand. And I think that's ultimately what paid off.
Let's talk about your local seat, Goldstein. It's the nice, affluent area of Brighton, Hampton and Sandringham.
It's more than that, though. It goes from Brighton to Beaumaris on Portfield Bay. It's Bentley, McKinnon, Ormond, Caulfield South, Glen Huntley and Elstonwick and Cheltenham as well.
And do the people like Tim Wilson or do the people like Liberal Party? What's the vibe? What was the vibe going into the election?
So it's interesting. There are a lot of people who said, came up and said, I really like you, but I'm going to vote against you and you have to try and say, well, you know, that means I lose. So there are people who, I actually don't much care whether people like me, and I don't mean that to say that I don't want people to dislike me. I'd like to be a popular local member. I think politics is a tough business and you've got to make the decisions that are in the best interests of the country and the community. And if at the end of your time in office, however long it is, the people respect you, that's what you should aim for.
Many of our listeners may have a bit of dislike towards the Liberal Party. Fast forward to the sort of last few months of this term.
Yep.
What can the LGBTI community expect from a Morrison-led government?
Well, I mean, the biggest issue that we faced as a community over past years was obviously the marriage debate. Now, I recognise completely that was a very difficult debate for lots of people, and I include myself, by the way, as part of that. That was the last major federal area where we had challenges. Now a lot of it's much more bureaucratic. I'm not trying to make light of it. It's just much more mainstream. So that's why we've given funding for the National LGBTI Health Alliance. We'll work through and deal with some of the issues around sexuality or gender identity as we are in aged care. But the choices or the big points of division, I just don't think are going to be there. What we have always focused on as a Liberal Party, and I'm very proud of this, is how do we take a nation forward together? And that's what you're going to expect from the Morrison government, is sensible, measured reform to take the whole community forward with us.
Some people that might think they've been mistreated by, and they might think it's personal views from Scott Morrison and might feel a bit fearful. What do you say to them?
I understand. You know, there are things the Prime Minister said, frankly, in the past, which I don't agree with, and he knows that. But I think the point is that there's a difference between somebody's personal opinion when you're executing the office of Prime Minister. And I think the Prime Minister has gone through an incredible reconciliation of that, the importance of the office he holds and how he needs to be a Prime Minister for all Australians. I've seen that firsthand on many occasions. And I think that while people might have those views, I also think he's gone his own journey. And I think it's important to respect that journey and also to encourage people to take a journey on their relationship with him, because I think he has the potential to be really one of the most incredible prime ministers this country will see.
We had some comments from Kelly O'Dwyer, the former cabinet minister, late last year about the Liberal Party being having a sort of a bit of homophobic or behaviours.
I think the point is that her comment was around a perception.
Yeah.
And you know, look, I don't want to reinforce that perception. I don't core agree with with her. But I do think the Liberal Party has a proud tradition on, you know, we were the party that decriminalised homosexuality in Victoria. Back in 1999, nobody will remember this, we had a more progressive view on trans issues than the Labor Party did. Obviously, with the help of the Australian people, we were happy to oversee the delivery of marriage equality, as well as, you know, having the first woman elected federal parliament, first cabinet minister, and we were the ones who set up the Australian Greenhouse Office. So I think, you know, people can get skewed if they want to focus on part of a history. Every party has histories. Every party has complications. My focus is the future.
So you don't think there's a need of a culture change within the Liberal Party going forwards?
Well, I think cultures always evolve.
Yep.
And I think they're only reflective of the people who are in there at the time. And that's why I always say to anybody who holds centre-right views, who believes in the rights and dignity of the individual, go to join.vic.liberal.org.au. Political parties are made up of the people who are there at the time. We have enduring values. If you support those values, become a part of it, because democracy isn't a spectator sport. You've got to be in it.
We're talking with federal member for Goldstein, Tim Wilson, here on The Informer on Joy 94.9. Tim, I want to get to know you as the person just a little bit. You married your partner Ryan last year. If he was to sum you up in one word, what would be your guess? What would be the word? Have you had that question before on in the media?
Well, he has, and he gave an answer, and now it sounds like I'm not listening because he gave it. But I think the main word he'd use is energy, which is can be a bit frenetic and a bit, and it never stops. But we have the most wonderful relationship, and I love him to bits. And I just every day wake up and cannot believe that I'm so privileged to have somebody stand by my side and stand with me when, you know, I've tested our relationship a few times. I've gone a few bounds. We've taken some big risks together, including my entry into politics, but he sticks by me. And so there's a loving bond that I have with him that will never be broken.
Now, of all the romantic ways of proposing, did you ever envision that you would propose in the House of Representatives?
Well, I didn't ever imagine, you know, how old are you?
31.
31. So I'm 39, and let's not rub that in. I remember a time, and one of the great challenges of reconciling, you know, when you were younger that you were gay was that you were never going to get married. So did I imagine that when I was a kid? No, I didn't think so at all. And then to have had the incredible privilege, and I want to stress that, it's a privilege to be part of the last generation that's lived through that time and to be part, as many other people were, whether it was through simply filling out a survey form or being an activist or anything else, part of that change. Did I imagine doing on the floor of the House of Representatives? The truth is, you're actually about to get an exclusive, is it was all set up from my first speech when I was elected to Parliament. If you go and read the speech, and it talks about lots of things. It talks about the ring on both our left hands. It's the answer to the question we cannot ask, which got a lot of press coverage at the time. I wrote that knowing that when the debate came around that it was something that I was going to do. Now, I did it for lots of reasons, one of which was obviously a proposal, but it was also about the humanisation of an issue after a very difficult debate. And the fact is, I think like a lot of people in the LGBTI community, it was a difficult debate to live through and to humanise the issue at the end point, to bring it back to what it was, which is it wasn't about pieces of legislation and the detail of it. It was about two people who love and commit to each other and want to spend the rest of their life together and be held to the same stand and respect as their peers is something that was incredibly powerful. But it was also a moment to give permission to other people. And look, that sounds a bit dicky to say, but the reality is we all went through that euphoria of the vote coming in or the survey result coming in. And then there was the rudimentary passage of the legislation. But part of the reason I did it was also to turn around to other people and say, this is the world now. To those who said no, but also to many of those people who had aspirations to get married and that it was okay and that people in positions of authority were prepared to show their own vulnerability and expose themselves to the change.
Well, it was one of the more pleasant moments in Parliament, I'm sure. It's Radiothon here at Joy, where we raise money to keep us on air. Why do you think that it's important to have media like Joy around?
So, you've caught me off guard. I think because of the election, I haven't actually renewed my membership. I'm a long-standing member of Joy. And, you know, I always just, it's partly because obviously people like the music and the discussion, and there are obviously topics in the LGBTI world that particularly in the past haven't been discussed mainstream. I've got to say it's amazing to see how many are discussed mainstream now. But it's also, you know, for all of those kids who may still be struggling with their sexuality or needing a touch point, obviously you can find unlimited content on the internet, but to hear people in your community of people who are relatable about human stories in your own city, and in some places where people download that content in countries where they can't be themselves. And I know, you know, Joy is broadcast around the world and has podcasts which are downloaded across the world. It's always been a critical part of the LGBTI sort of social infrastructure.
I'm assuming you'll be renewing then, Tim?
Yeah, you'll get me on the way out. That's fine. Happy to.
What a wonderful sentiment. Thank you very much to David Beckett and Tim Wilson there. And as they were observing, there are a huge number of Joy podcasts. You can follow and subscribe. You can follow and subscribe to the Informers podcast or, of course, other wonderful shows like World Wide Wave.
Yes, yes. And there'll be extended interviews from Sarah McBride and from Andy Reynolds going up in
Absolutely,
the next
there will be.
Couple of days or so. And so you're feeling a little bit more enthusiastic than I am. About this.
I am. I try to look at these things in terms of kind of large scale, like overall, the trend is really positive, yeah? LGBTI people are much more visible. We see that through people like Sarah McBride. We see that in Australia as well. There are now prominent LGBTIQ politicians on both sides of politics. You've got Penny Wong, Louise Pratt. You've got like four, as we were alluding to earlier in the show, there are four gay MPs on the Conservative side of politics in the House of Representatives. Like, the trends are really positive. Yes, we do take steps back, and that's frustrating and it's hard, but things are getting better.
I think you're being a little bit overly positive there. When I listen to the stories from Andy,
I'm going to.
When I hear the stories from around the world, and even from Sarah McBride, who talks about there being transgender council members across the states, and can anyone tell me where the transgender politicians are, the elected politicians are in Australia? Now, maybe I've missed that. It wasn't on Wikipedia. But I think we have a lack of transgender representation. We have mostly white gay men who are in those elected positions. We have fewer lesbian women. We have very few out, or if any, bisexual people in parliaments or in state or in local councils. So there's a real lack of representation, and we can do much better, and we should be pushing our politicians, our parties, for more representation. We need to get out there, everyone, and hear our voices heard. That's the message I've heard.
I think you're right. I think we can actually have a shared takeaway that if people are feeling glum post the election, the best thing they can do is get involved. Maybe it's get involved in a radio station like Joy. Maybe it's joining a political party. People need to get involved. And that's what The Informer is all about. And that's what you're listening to here on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.